Welcome to Season 3 of the Student Leadership Podcast. We believe you were created to make a difference. So we want to equip you to lead your generation in whatever setting you find yourself in. So whether it's your high school, middle school, college campus, or anywhere in between, we want to help you point others to Jesus. What is going on, students? And welcome to the Student Leadership Podcast. We're so excited. All right, so we've got a lot of new stuff going on today because we're starting, first of all, I'm hosting with my boy, and it happens to be his birthday, Colin Robinson.
I know. This is so fun to be on this side of it.
Yes, the captain's chair.
Oh, yes.
How's it feel?
It's, you know, it's higher up. It's weird, even though all these chairs are at the same level.
Yes, yes. Okay, but we also have a new guest. Ryan Kick is joining us today. What's up, bro?
What's up, guys?
Yo.
How you guys doing?
I mean, we're great. It's a little bit colder where you are because you're a Buffalo boy. Is that correct?
So I'm still here in Pittsburgh.
You know.
So my family's getting wrecked right now. My mom has about 5.5 feet. Like, no joke. But I mean, I'm looking at grass right now. So
we're going to
what a dream.
Yes. Love to see it. All right. So Ryan, man, you've done a lot of different things. Give us a brief overview so students who are listening know kind of what you do in ministry and what you've done. Just give us what you and your wife do.
Yeah. So I guess real quick, tons of stuff, but in short, so we work at a church here in Pittsburgh. It's a multi-site church. It's where the global student pastors be, like, we lead kind of all of youth ministries at the different campuses. And we also lead a program in different schools called iLead. So it's basically a leadership development program in public schools in like Pittsburgh region. So that's super awesome. We really love doing that. It's a great time.
Oh. Okay, so Ryan's not going to say this, and I went to college with him. Ryan's one of the most modest and mature guys that it was really annoying because, like, Ryan's, like, technically younger than me, but acts 5 years older than me, and I have loved him and hated him for it for all the time. But I'm so excited to have you here on this today.
Yeah, Ryan, everything I've ever heard about you is just studly behavior, studly material.
Oh,
so
that's a good word.
We're going to,
appreciate that.
Just a young stud. Okay, so Ryan, we like to interview our guests and do like a little icebreaker. So here's my question for you today. Tell me, what is your favorite sound? Oh. Everybody talks about favorite colors or favorite place of vacation.
Favorite sound.
I want to know. There's a lot of great sounds in the world.
There's like, a lot of great sounds.
Bird or like a door closing?
Those would be options, Colin.
No, okay. So this is like, I already feel old saying this, but do you remember the like air horn, like iPhone sound from a couple years ago?
Yes.
Like, I feel like that's definitely up there on the list.
That's classic. That is a top-tier sound.
In any like youth conference we did or whatever, it was just like someone would say something stupid and just like the little like, iPhone tap. That's a quick like that sounds pretty legendary.
Like the burn sound or whatever, right? Is that kind of what you
mean? Yeah.
It's like, yes, it got served.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, great. That's amazing. Good answer. Solid answer. Okay, Ryan, you do leadership in public schools here in Pittsburgh. You've worked with a lot of youth students, so we know you got good stuff. Give us a principle or a teaching for student leaders today. What do you got for us?
Yeah. So one thing I'm actually kind of working on the side is this new concept of like resilient leadership or resilient discipleship. Mm-hmm. And I think for us, I think specifically this is more in a Christian context, obviously. But I think if we look in the Old Testament, there's some really clear ways of us to follow in the ways of Jesus, but doing so while we live kind of in this new, I guess I'll say, cultural exile moment, where like culture is so different than what, you know, scripture calls us to lead to. And so I think there's such a big difference. And so how do we live in that resilient kind of leadership or discipleship in our walk with Jesus and still affect our friends and our neighbors and our schools?
Wow. Okay. So that word resilient.
Yo, that's exactly. Yeah.
Yes. Resilient leadership. What do you mean by that? Paint that out for us a little bit.
Yeah. So again, I think in the context of, say, you're in a middle school, high school, college, like, I feel like culture is really trying to form you into like the way the culture is currently, right? Like everything that we're surrounded by is forming us to look like culture. And so I think this resiliency idea is, regardless of the ways that, you know, the world kind of pulls us back and forth, we're still able to stay like deeply rooted in the things of Jesus and kind of the ways that he's called us to live. And that doesn't mean that necessarily we're just these old, super boring Christians that don't do anything. I think there's a way to live and affect our culture while still living in it and kind of abiding by their rules in some sense. So, and I think there's a lot of scripture in the Old Testament that kind of talks about that.
Okay. You want to go into that? Talk to us about where you see that resilient countercultural leadership that we're called to live by.
Yeah. So give me 2 minutes for this really short story. So in 2 Kings chapter 22, there's a dude named King Josiah. Mm. So essentially King Josiah, he started ruling as 8 years old. So basically started ruling really young. When he's 18 years old, he sends the temple hand to clean out the temple or basically the church. And they find the law.
Yeah.
And so straight up, they lost the law and they come back and wait, King, I think we found something important. Right. So Josiah, literally, he opens it up, he reads it and he weeps, just tears his clothes, super sad, whatever, and calls the prophet forward and says, hey, please go to the Lord and apologize on behalf of all of us. So the Lord kind of says, hey, listen, I was so done with Israel. I'm ready to kind of give you over to your enemies. But because of your faithfulness and your repentance, I basically want to pause that for your lifespan. So as long as you're alive, as long as you're the king of Israel, king of Judah, I will not hand you over to your enemies. So in the rest of his life, he tears down every altar, brings back all these customs of the Jewish faith, and he leads almost in this communal sense of let's get back to God. And so anyways, that's important because I think it sets up right after he dies, 3 years later, Babylon comes in, pulls people to exile. Mm. And so if you look at the years that happened, we see people like Rashak, Meshach, and Abednego. We see Daniel. We see all these people who were in exile, but consistently were fighting against culture in a healthy way. It wasn't I'm just going to oppose because I'm upset. Yeah. But it was, hey, I'm going to still trust in my God, despite kind of the crazy culture that we were thrust into. And so I think that's a really, really quick story of, hey, listen, look what happens when we devote our lives to things of Jesus. And when we're kind of sent into exile, we can still live there, but we don't have to fall into or be deformed into that new culture.
So good.
I love that. I love how you're connecting those together, especially with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because I think that's such a classic story. But I think at the same time, if I whenever I've read that before, I don't necessarily feel okay, I'm not these three young slave boys that got taken into another place, unfortunately. So whenever we're trying to take that type of a principle, resilience, if I'm a student, how can I take this and put it into my context? How do I make that practical? Cause I'm not in Babylon. I'm in my high school.
Yeah.
But what do I do to be resilient in my high school?
So I think, the three kind of core, main points I've kind of defined is, identity, community, and spiritual practices. Ooh. And so I think those three core pieces, identity, community, and spiritual practices. I like that word better than spiritual disciplines. I think it actually, to me, it's more my jam.
Solid.
I think those three really hit on the three core areas of our lives that need to be transformed by Jesus in order to have that resilience. So when we talk about identity, who are we, when everything else is stripped away? If I didn't have the house, would Jesus still love me? Does he still care about me? So all these kind of things, if we strip it all back, if I don't have the friends or the clothes or the new tech, whatever, does God's view about me change?
Wow.
No. Right. Great. So that great. I think two is community, right? And so we cannot do this alone. And so actually, this is really funny. There was a Barna study. Barna is just a Christian organization that studies culture. They identified that just under 60% of people would actually prefer to be discipled alone. Hmm. I think that's a serious problem because we can't do discipleship or leadership alone. I think it just causes a lot of issues. And so community is so, so vital.
Yeah.
Obviously I'm just blowing through these. And then third is spiritual practices. I think we have a lot, this is more my soapbox. I think we've lost a lot of these things in our current, the way that we follow Jesus. Church has become, and this is a generalized statement, very you come to church, you receive a word from the pastor, you go home, and maybe you're transformed a little bit, but there's not too much interaction.
Yeah.
Where I think spiritual practices of, really reading our Bible, spending more time in like quiet prayer, things like Sabbath, silence of solitude, even just giving more. I think all these are little pieces that slowly change. It's not just what we're doing, but the thing that does to our heart when we do that. And so kind of combine all those three things, I think that creates this person who really models what Jesus looked like.
Wow. Okay, Ryan, I'm going to have you go back. I love those three. Yeah. And I wrote down and I took notes. I have a lot of questions about those too, but here's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about the two examples you gave, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were in exile, and then King Josiah, who, by the way, I could be wrong, but I don't know if I remember another person on this podcast bringing up young King Josiah, who took over when he was 8 years old. So I love that you're bringing up a unique story. I think for a lot of students, kind of to what Colin said, a lot of students might not realize the culture that they are in. This idea of analyzing the culture that you're growing up in and how is it different than the ones before it, or how is it anti what the Bible says? I think a lot of us are just becoming self-aware, just like, I'm just living, bro. So I'd love if you could talk to some areas that you see in our culture that you think, we're not even here to call it out like evil, right, black and white, but yeah, just places that students can start to look in their life to say, hey, that's culture. Hey, that's culture. Hey, that's culture. Help us just grow a little bit in awareness so we can then contrast what the Bible says with the world we're living in. Do you understand my question?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It's a great question. I think there's a couple of different ways to look at this, and maybe we can talk about it more. But like, just the sheer level of hurry and the pace at which we live, I think is a huge problem. I think our consumption of media, and just in essence, the way that we consume constantly, I think, like, what that's doing to our soul under the surface is something that just, you know, I don't quite know what it's doing, but I don't feel like it's good. The epidemic of anxiety, like in recorded history, there's never been a higher rate of anxiety, depression. And so I guess part of my thought is, I wonder how much that all is linked. Or even like when we talk about, there's a book, it's really deep, you don't have to read it, but it's called The Coddling of the American Mind. And the point of it essentially, it's kind of talking about, hey, like, we have almost tried to create too many safe spaces, but in essence, that's actually causing more harm to the way we think, to the way we live. And so I think when we just kind of, I don't want to say like fall in line with what culture is doing, but when we just kind of live our life on autopilot, I think is a good way to put it, that we're not really looking at the, you know, the spaces in which we live, we can unintentionally fall into these different areas that aren't like helpful to our soul or to like our, you know, our spiritual walk.
Okay.
Does that answer the question?
Yes. Now I have a follow-up then. So King Josiah or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looked at their culture, still chose to engage with it, but then said, you know, I want to be higher than it. I want to follow what God says. So pick maybe one of those that you kind of talked about and tell me a way that a student could have that resilient leadership, that countercultural gospel belief, moving them through and being anti the culture. So you can take one of those and maybe just walk us through what's a way that they could paint that out? How would that look in their life?
Yeah, I think so. Let's just talk about identity, for example. Okay. I think that's a huge one as far as look at all the different areas in which I think, especially when we're in middle school, high school, we're kind of searching for like who we are.
Yeah.
And so at least for me, I was like social chameleon, like this group I'd kind of wear, like I had like these like big, like yellow and orange Osiris shoes from back in the, you know, talking about the ski shoes, but I was like band geek in fourth period, but then like, so I kind of put on all these hats. And I think for us as, you know, when we're growing up in our teenage years, there really was this, I'm trying to find my identity. And I think sometimes that leads, especially in culture now, there are so many identities to choose from, but also ones that feel more noble, if that makes sense. So I think
absolutely,
maybe some that I don't want to get super into specifics, so we can if we want, but I think there are a lot of them that, you know, maybe feel more noble or more like, hey, I'm elevated or looked as better if I hold this position. And so people will go to that identity to kind of fulfill our selfish nature versus, hey, if we live in a sense of saying, hey, like I am just a son or daughter of Jesus first. And all the other things I do kind of affect that. So how we apply it is, hey, in situations where people are calling us to act a certain way or live a certain way. I think even Daniel in that story, when he's like the whole Daniel fast idea, when they're telling him, hey, like you have to eat the food that we're providing because we're training you up as a soldier. And he was like, hey, what if I try it my way? I'm going to eat just vegetables. And it comes out that him and all his Jewish friends are significantly stronger and more healthy than the people who have regular diet. So for us, what if we transform our lives in a way that's, hey, I'm going to put in things of Jesus consistently and almost not challenge the culture, but like subtly say, hey, listen, let's see if God's way is better.
Dang. I like that too, that you said, it's not like us versus the culture where we got to pound the keyboard and tweet out all the things wrong. But if we do what God tells us to do, his way is better and we'll net ourselves at a better spot than the rest of the world.
Yeah. Ryan, I always love talking with you because I always feel like it gets me thinking. And with those three that you mentioned, I love how in each of them, there's almost this like the opposite is almost like we could try to do it by ourselves. And I know you were like talking about that of like in discipleship, we try to do it by ourselves sometimes. And I'm just almost curious if there's almost some things kind of Jordan, like what you were saying of like, there's some things culturally that we just have to acknowledge. So I'm wondering with our like effort of trying to be resilient disciples, are there big cultural elements that might even exist in youth groups right now that are keeping us from being able to engage and grow in our identity or grow in community? Things that are specifically like keeping us away from other people. Like, are there things that we probably have to confront in youth groups and just even be able to overcome to be able to access that resilience?
For sure. I think now let me be careful not to like poo-poo on churches.
Right. You know, no, we're not trying to do that. But
I think when we look at student ministry specifically, for at least from my context growing up, it was a lot of attending youth groups, super hype events, a lot of fun, giveaways, small groups at the end, and then you kind of go home, right?
And those are great.
Those are really, really good. But I think with a little bit of tweaking, we can kind of maybe readjust to maybe where our priorities lie. So, for example, something we've been trying out in our student ministry context is doing, hey, one service is kind of your, I don't want to say vanilla, but it's your student service. Like, it's a banger. There's games. There's worship. It's a lot of fun. But the next week, you're entirely in your small groups. The whole time is you're eating, you're playing games. And maybe I'll do a 5-minute recap of the message from last week, but the point is you're just in there with your group. And I think just that little tweak is shifting towards, hey, we are putting you in community. Even if you don't quite know this person, you know, in small groups for a half hour, when you're spending an hour and a half with them, you really begin to, your walls begin to fall down. You begin to know them deeper as a person. And so I think just little tweaks in our church that we can create space for community on a smaller level. Cause I think as you know, some youth groups, as we grow, we kind of lose that broader sense of community where it's just my friend group. And so when we open that up a bit, and also like just allow multi-generational like voices into our lives, I think that's so important too. Like when we talk about, you know, I think it's always attractive to have like young leaders serving in student ministry, but like, and there's a lot of energy and fun there, but you can never replace like, you know, older wisdom in a group too. And I think when you can kind of get both of that, like, man, that's your sweet spot. Just having this multi-generational group of people pouring into students.
That's great.
That's super solid. I feel like if you're a student listening to that, don't like even just take that of like, you're listening to like a youth pastor. Okay. Part of like what you can even take away with that is like those moments of small groups together are so powerful. Mm-hmm. Like that's not just something we do in like services to kill time. Like that's genuinely something that's going to do great. Ryan, I'm just curious because I know that you have like a lot of stories and you've obviously been in youth ministry like for a while. So tell me like, what are some like even experiences that you've had with students where you've seen them begin to access this of like, all right, I'm actually going to be resilient in following Jesus. Like whether that's in a change in their identity or they started like doing community together. Like tell me some like experience or testimony about that.
Yeah, I think most recently we had a student who really had high buy-in for See You at the Pole. So for those who don't know, See You at the Pole is just you gather around your flagpole a specific day in September to pray for your schools. And I think for this student, we were kind of speaking on like, hey, like what can we do to affect our schools? And the Lord just did something really specific in her heart and said, hey, listen, like whatever you're like, I want to be a part of what you're doing in our campus. So I remember she kind of came up and said, hey, can we do worship together there? But also like, I want to make this a regular thing. Like, I don't know what that looks like, but I want to set aside like quiet personal time. If I'm not hearing from the Lord first, then like, this is just kind of me building my platform in school. Yeah. So like one, like great step by her. That wasn't me.
Yes.
But two, like she immediately got some friends together almost in this community aspect and said, hey, we're going to prayer walk our schools. We're going to, during the early process of starting a club. And so I think just those little steps and also, not to jump off that point, but she also is trying to find like an older mentor. And I know you guys touched on that in a previous, you know, episode, but like finding a couple mentors or voices to speak into your life while you're walking out kind of these dreams or visions God's given you, like so vital. So
yeah,
I think really quickly, like just kind of what she's doing is more just listening to God and walking what she's saying with others surrounding her. And if I can say like, you know, if we're boiling it all down to something simple, it's really that. It's, hey, listen to what God is saying to you in your heart. Surround yourself with people who care about you, who want to see the mission first,
yes.
but then also have some wise people speaking into you the whole time to help you kind of like, I think of the old story where they're holding up Moses' arms. Like that's kind of what we're doing. Like we are going into our school, surrounding ourselves with people to hold up each other's arms as we kind of not fight against us first then, but as we kind of see what God is doing through just like our obedience to him.
Wow. So good, dude. And I appreciate the moderate tone you have, because I think sometimes when we hear about being anti our culture and you got to stand up, it can get really us versus them, if that makes any sense. You know, it can kind of turn into like, your high school is the enemy. And it's like, right. No, man, it's a mission field and we love everyone there. We just want to see them come to know Jesus. Ryan, so good. Hey, if a student was inspired by what you said, wanted to connect with you, maybe wanted to ask you personally a question, what's a way they could connect with you?
Yeah, just hit me up on social media. So I think I mainly use Instagram, Twitter. So it's like at Ryan M. Kick on Instagram or Twitter.
What's the M? I've never known
It's Michael.
Michael!
Ooh. There we go.
So Ryan Michael, yeah. Ryan popular M. Kick. Name.
Yes, let's go.
It is.
Let's go, bro. Awesome. Hey, thanks so much for joining us, students.
Yeah, dude.
We hope that this was inspiring to you, that you're even beginning with the Holy Spirit to pray. What is God calling you to be countercultural and to be resilient in? And we want to surround you and equip you. So we love you. We're praying for you. We believe you're called to lead your generation. Do it with passion for Christ and love for others. We'll see you on the next one.